Good morning. Thank you for the invitation to be with you on this beautiful, beautiful morning. We have read the parable of the Good Samaritan, and it's more than a parable in many ways. The Latin American theologian John Sobrino has said, "This is the constitution of the church." So we do well to ponder this, not as some dead document, but as a story that describes the profound dynamic of mercy and compassion that is awakened by the suffering of another. It is about the heart and the soul that moves us individually as churches to see the suffering by the side of the road. I think that each one of us here can recall minutes when we have passed by the suffering of another, that we have been so very busy doing good, really busy about really good things, that we didn't notice the person by the side of the road. And we are so surrounded by noise and chatter and the waves of Wi-Fi around us, that even as we are engaged in very good works, we do not hear and cannot hear the cry of the suffering one by the side of the road. But I also suspect, and I know some of you here that are so involved in working with refugees by the side of the road, I also know that at least once in your life, maybe two times, maybe more, you have stopped. Your heart was touched. You saw this person suffering, and you felt it deeply. And you felt deep down, you could not walk by this. And this person was your neighbor. This is the heart and the soul of what the church is about when we say we care about refugees. It's not just about doing good things and raising money, although that flows from this, but it is about being people who have been profoundly touched by the suffering of another. I can think of the day, almost the hour, when a refugee woman from Eritrea knocked at the door, and there were five little children. And I felt, I knew she was my neighbor. Not a refugee, not an issue, not a cause, but my neighbor. And I felt I would respond to her, to this person in the front of me. So this, I think, is the beginning. This, for any one of us, is about the awakening of mercy, the seeing, the hearing that moves us to action. It's the first step, and we don't make up that first step. The refugee whom we recognize as our neighbor, that is a grace. That is a profound grace, and it is given. We can't manufacture it. And after that kind of moment, there is the action, the drudgery of going to the person, bending down, looking, seeing the wounds, lifting the person, taking the donkey with the person down the road further to the inn, where there will be another person to carry them. This is the movement towards justice, towards finding neighborhoods, finding networks of people who will care about this person as a neighbor. And our task sometimes is simply to introduce the suffering one into a neighborhood of care. Being a neighbor is a very difficult task. It's quite different from our family relationships, romantic relationships. It's quite different. It is about being near, and near enough to see, to know, to acknowledge the suffering one, but not too near, not clutchy, always able to say, you will be cared for by others. This is our way. We become neighbors. It is a huge gift. I think today, here in Toronto, we hear stories of people who became good neighbors, who helped somebody take the first step, the wounded take the first step, go to the inn, go to the institutions of care and of justice. There are those who will care for you. And that is our task, to teach one another how and when we are summoned by the man or the woman by the side of the road. The grace is there, but it takes another grace. It takes another person, somebody in your midst, a political leader, perhaps like Angela Merkel of Germany. And she said to the people of Germany, who had a long memory of how they had treated people by the side of the road, and she said, the Syrian refugees are coming, and we will welcome them. We can do this. We can do this. That's the second step. The first grace that is given is to see, this is my neighbor. And the second grace and action that we need to take is to say to one another, we can do this. And we have done this at different moments in our history. Just south of here, this summer, there was the opening of the Ireland Center in honor of Dr. Douglas Robert Grasset. He was the brother of the Dean of the Anglican Cathedral in Toronto in 1847. And as probably some of you know, in the summer of 1847, the fever fleet of refugees fleeing from Ireland, most of them Catholics, they arrived in the summer of 1847, diseased, dying. I had relatives on those boats. And when they docked, the initial reaction of the people of Toronto was fear. They have typhus. They are diseased. We must keep our social distance. And there were those in the summer of 1847. Remember, this is 40,000 refugees. And the city of Toronto was only 20,000 at that time. So double the population. And the Catholic Bishop of Toronto went down to the ships and went into the fever sheds. And he died there. And he was assisted by the Anglican Bishop of Toronto. And he was assisted by Douglas Robert Grasset, 37 years old, a doctor who begged his brother to send him so he could treat and help the people in the fever sheds. It's a story of immense generosity. What moved him to do this? Beyond the sectarian problems of Catholic and Protestant at that time, these were people who were suffering. Somebody said, we can do this. We can welcome these people. And that's what we need to say now in this city. We know there are Afghan refugees applying by the thousands to come to Canada. And they are stopped by the bureaucracy of Immigration Canada. They are stopped. And it seems sometimes that these bureaucracies are set up deliberately to say, you can't do this, you can't do that. And we need to say, we can do this. We can welcome these people as we welcomed Syrian refugees, as we welcomed the Irish Catholics in the summer of 1847. So let us hear now say to each other the incredible words of this parable. These are my neighbors. We can do this. We will do this. Amen.